It's a rather enigmatic passage. It begins with the Pharisees actually trying to help out Jesus, which seems a little uncharacteristic. And then, oh, you tell that fox, today I'm casting out demons and healing the sick, and tomorrow and on the third day I will finish my work. And then he goes on, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. All of this all mushed together in just a few short verses. I think what it's here to remind us of is two things. First, Jesus will finish his work regardless of the machinations of others. Herod, or whatever Herods there may be in our lives today, will not prevent Jesus from accomplishing his purposes in us. And secondly, the real danger is from within. The real danger is not from outside. So we begin with the Pharisees. And they're warning Jesus to flee because Herod's coming. Now, if we're going to be honest about it, it may not have been something said out of their great love and concern for Jesus. Back in that day, you didn't want Herod coming around and sending his soldiers and poking around your town. So it may have been as simple as, get out of here and take your trouble with you. We don't know for sure. But Jesus' response is what is telling. And I think it's Jesus' response that's why Luke has recorded this for us. Jesus says to him, tell that fox, listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. In other words, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And not you and not Herod are going to stop me. But then he goes on. He has a little further reflection because now he's thinking about how is this going to come to an end? And he says, a prophet cannot be killed outside of Jerusalem. And so he acknowledges that his death will come, and his death will come in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. The real danger, the real end, will come from within. Jesus knows where his end will come, and it will not be from something on the outside, some outside force, but from within his own community, from within the life of his own people. Indeed, it is so often true that the community seeks to silence the prophet, the one who upsets the proverbial apple cart, the one who speaks the uncomfortable truth that nobody wants to hear. But it goes beyond that. The real danger for us spiritually is not the circumstances in which we find ourselves or whatever other people may do around us. The danger for us spiritually is always within. That's where the real damage is done, isn't it? Not what happens to us from the outside, but from what comes from within. Certainly, history teaches us that the real danger for a nation is always from within. If you look at the history of the great civilizations that have risen and fallen throughout our recorded history. Sure, there may have been some invading army that came through and burned and pillaged and so forth. But what made that possible always started with failure from within. It always started with that rot that comes from the inside. And that's what weakened them and made it possible that somebody else could come in and wreak that destruction. Indeed, for Satan to be a threat to us, to come into our lives, requires that we let down our guard, that we take our eyes off Jesus and let our eyes go to something else. But then there's the wondrous promise. How often have I desired to gather you under my wings as a hen gathers her brood for warmth, for protection, for fellowship, for safety. So the question for us then is, are you willing to be gathered? Or are you going to be a good American? And are you going to stand up on your own two feet and pull yourself up by your bootstraps and take care of yourself? Or are you going to be humble and recognize that I need Jesus to gather me under his wings? My wings ain't strong enough. I don't have it. So the first promise is wondrous, that God will accomplish his purpose for us. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he said, I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus will accomplish his work regardless of what happens on the outside, regardless of the Herods of his day or the Herods of our day. And he will accomplish his work in us, regardless of the Herods of our day, whatever shape those might take in your life. And then this passionate promise that he wants to gather us as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. But we would not. That's where the real danger is, isn't it? That we refuse to be gathered. We refuse to come under the shelter of his wings. We want to stand up on our own. We want to be our own wings. We want our cleverness, our resources, our wealth, our comfort, our abilities, our strength, our horses, our swords, whatever. We want that to be the wing that protects us. But Jesus says, no, the only wing that will really protect us, the only wing that we need, is his wing. But we have to allow it. Today's St. Patrick's Day. I see several of you in green today. I do have some Irish blood in me, as you can probably tell by my fair complexion and my red hair. Never been all that excited about St. Paddy's Day, though. It was never that big a deal to me. But I was pondering not the idea of St. Patrick's Day, but the actual Patrick. Born in the late 300s. Worked and served in Ireland in the early 400s AD. And I think there's a real parallel, because I think that Patrick had to learn the lesson of trusting not in the things of this world or in his own wit or his own wisdom, but to trust in God. See, the real story about Patrick is not leading the snakes out of Ireland. He probably did no such thing. Sorry. No, the interesting story about Patrick is that he was actually born in Britain. And when he was about 16 years old, he was kidnapped by some Irish pirates and taken back to Ireland and sold as a slave. And he actually spent about 6 years as a slave on a farm in Ireland until he finally had an opportunity to escape and returned to England. And then when he was back in England, he became a Christian and was ordained. And then God called him, and he accepted the call to go back to Ireland, back to that place where he had known only slavery, and to begin to evangelize. Patrick was not born Irish. He went there to serve because he had learned somehow that, you know what? My safety is not going to be found in the things of this life. What makes me safe, what makes me protected, what makes me secure is Christ and Christ alone. And therefore, he could go right back into the maw of slavery, into the land that had been nothing but slavery for him, and serve those people and bring them the good news of Jesus' love. Will we follow the example of Patrick? It's not about drinking some green beer today. It's about being willing to say, I don't trust in the powers of this world to be my protection. And the corollary to that is I don't fear the powers of this world to end me. I often wonder how many opportunities have been lost to us ordinary Christians by our fear of the Herods of this world. How many times have we held back from telling others about our love for Jesus because we were worried about what the powers of this world might think or say or hear or do in response? How often did we have an opportunity to meet the need of another and fail to do so because we were concerned about the Herod of my checkbook or my 401k or whatever else it might be? How often have we been held back from being the people that God intends for us to be by our fear of the Herods of this life, by our fear of the systems of this world, by not acknowledging the reality that we actually, in many ways, remain enslaved to the values of this life? This Lent, are you willing to be gathered under Jesus' wing, to be identified as his brood and nothing else? To know the shelter of his family and nothing else. Will you be gathered to Jesus? Amen.